We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Okay. Well, choir, you did a good job Christmas Eve. Yes, they did. And I appreciate all of that. A lot of work went into that program, and I appreciate that. It wasn't easy. It didn't come easy. And I appreciate that devotion to the Lord. Well, let's stand together for a second. You got to stretch your legs. Let's go to John 13, 34 through 35, and read this. I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Wow. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for your word. And now, Lord, may Satan not snatch that word from our hearts, but may it go deep into our hearts, into our souls, that we may practice that which you have asked us to practice. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're looking at a new year coming. Because I debated whether to do a Christmas one or a New Year one coming up. And I figured I did Christmas last week. I'm going to do New Year coming up to get you ready for this new year, right? Yes. And this has fascinated me. I've been studying this particular one for a while. And it's entitled One Another. And the original title that I heard this sermon given was One Another, One Another. He says, well, what's that mean? That means you're supposed to do something to one another and one another. Okay? So, this is one another. Have you ever stopped to think about this, church? That the church not only reaches out to a community, but a church also has some things that it needs to do inside. That we need to do some things for one another. In fact, the Bible gives a whole list, and I'm gonna talk about 12 of them today. Oh, you look overjoyed. I'm glad to hear that. I'm not gonna spend much time on each one because I want you to think about how you can apply it in your life, okay? The church. You know, to some people, the church is a blessing. They talk about, but to others, some people want to have nothing to do with the church. Now, why is that? Well, I think there's many reasons sometimes that that happens. Many reasons. I can't name one reason and tell you why. I think there's many reasons. But I think there is also many reasons why we need the church. And we need each other. And today, I want to give you for this new year, 12. 12 of them. 12 verses that you can take. You could call it the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 scriptures of New Year, whatever, or the 12 scriptures for the church. Whatever you want to call it, we'll call it that. The very first thing, people, that I think as a church we got to do is we got to pray for each other. Number one, we need to pray for each other. We find that in James 5, 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, and we'll talk about that later, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. God's people need to pray. Plain and simple. Church just isn't about us. Church is about God and us. God reaching down. God strengthening. God helping us. Now, I said we'd talk a little bit later about that first part. But it is the duty for us to pray for one another and for others to pray for you. Did you know that? That's one of the hardest things I find sometimes in my personal life. I'm going to be honest, is to say, I need prayer. But I do. I do. And every single one of you here today needs prayer for something. We need prayer. So, pray for one another. Get excited about praying for one another. It demonstrates, you know, I had someone say, well, why do you pray? Why do you pray? I mean, if God knows what it's all about, why even pray? Well, let me tell you something. It demonstrates, prayer demonstrates the power of God, shows us. We ask and bang. And it also demonstrates our submission to God. To where we say, I'm not in charge, God is. God is in charge. And I need to submit my life to God. And to whatever His will may be. Maybe God brings healing, maybe sometimes He doesn't. But God is in charge. And we need to submit to Him. It shows us all that we need Him. Now, second, we need to encourage one another. Did you ever need encouragement? Yeah. Sure do. We need to encourage one another. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 says, watch out, brothers. And he's talking to the church, okay? Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. That can happen. But encourage one another daily while it is still called today so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. We got to encourage one another. Say, how's it going?
Well, not too good.
Well, what can I do? Can I pray for you? Can I help you? We got to encourage. You know what? Life is hard out there, isn't it? It's not easy in the job. It's not easy standing up for Christianity. And that church ought to be the place where they get, come on, let's do it. Let's be encouraged. Let the Word of God encourage you. That's why I want to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God always encourages me. And I always find strength in the Word of God. It tells us that we're family. We really are family. We have a responsibility to help one another. Did you know that? We just don't occupy a seat. We encourage one another. We help one another. The world is constantly reminding us of sin. And we need that encouragement to keep the faith and to keep the course. Church is to be an encouraging place. And the question is it? How can you make it an encouraging place? And you need to ask yourself, am I making this an encouragement environment or am I just really doing the opposite? We need that encouragement. We need it. Now, thirdly, we need to build one another up. You know that? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we all live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up as you already are doing. Now, Paul said, you're already doing it. Thessalonians had a hard time in their church with persecution. And they were already trying to encourage one another. Already trying to build one another up. Don't tear one another down, people. Don't do negative stuff like that. That's not the place for church. Okay? We're supposed to build one another up. Not tear one another down and criticize one another. You know, the book of Romans gives us advice on keeping the peace. That's an interesting thing. In Romans 14, verse 19, it says, so then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds one another up. So, man, build one another up. Build one another up. Don't do negative things. Promote peace. Well, fourthly, confess our faults to one another. Now, I know it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, as the song says. But we're not perfect. And we need to admit it. In James 5:16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. I said we'd get back to it, and we did. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. This is a spiritual truth, people. It can be used, and it should never be abused, to confess your sins to one another. Did you notice, though, that it didn't say confess your sin to clergy or to elders or deacons or teachers? Now, they could be those, but it says to one another. You know, I am amazed at some of the things that you have gone through in life that I haven't gone through. And I am amazed how you can encourage someone who's gone through the same thing. But if they don't know it, and you don't know it, you can't encourage. So we need to be open with one another and to encourage one another. You know, let me tell you this. When you confess your sin of resentment or a grudge or lack of forgiveness, boy, that can lead to other things in your life that tumble, that begin to collapse. And there's times when we need to go to an individual for forgiveness, and when we confess that, we realize that. There are times where our friends can help us think it through, Christian friends. I know too many people that went to the wrong friends. They weren't Christian friends, and they confessed this and confessed that, and they gave them wrong advice. Be careful of that. Many times, Christian friends can help us think through something. Well, the fifth one is to love one another. Now, that's what we read. In fact, this is all about love. I mean, this all is to love one another. This is the driving factor of all of these acts for one another. You're not going to be known by the special rites that you do or the dress. Did he say a Christian is known by their dress? Did he say Christians are known by their beards? Christians are known by their hairstyles? He didn't say that. He said you'll be known by your genuine love. See, it's not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees that wore their garb and everyone said, oh, there's a Pharisee. Oh, there's a Sadducee. But when God's people truly love one another, that's when you say, there's a Christian. Genuine Christian love. Now, we can help one another. We can love one another. We can help. You know what love does? It absorbs hurts. Have you noticed that? Someone may hurt you, but love absorbs that hurt. Okay? And it kind of helps you through some things. You know, this commandment was found in the Old Testament. So why did Jesus say, a new command I give you? The new command is, you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ. And that's new. And a forgiveness that transcends all other forgivenesses. A forgiveness, a love that transcends, of dying for you. And so therefore, says he, this is a new command. You love as I have loved you. Isn't that great? Wow. And how did he love us, people? How did he love us? He died for us. So we need to love as Christ has loved each other. To die for each other? Yeah. Yes. Well, sixth, be devoted to one another and honor one another. I love I always said I wanted to go to Japan. Because when they greet one another, they'll go. And it's a showing honor. And the older people, they honor, they respect for their wisdom, for their knowledge. Listen to what it says in Romans 12:10. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Can you outdo someone with honoring someone? Stop and think about that. Outdo it. Now, this word bit about show family affection, that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. It really tells you, act like family. And some of you are going, whoa, you don't know my family. We got together for Christmas and you should have seen it. No. But you know what? You do have a tolerance for your family, don't you? Yeah, and we need that love and that affection for each other. It donates it shows an affection as a family does. And don't seek honor yourself. Don't seek honor yourself. You know what? We all share Christ's Spirit, don't we? We're brothers and sisters. You may get mad at a brother. You might get mad at a sister. But you love them. Right? And others come before yourself. Do that. Now, these aren't great suggestions. These are commands that were given to us by those who had helped start churches. 7 is serve one another. Serve one another. I remember being in the house one time where someone was, the wife was busy. And he said, I need a cup of coffee. Okay, she got a cup of coffee. Boom, boom, boom. And she's, I need this. Okay, she went and got this. I need that. And I wanted to say, get off of the couch and serve your wife. What is wrong with you? Shame on you. Sometimes we think as a church we need to be served. It's all about me. Serve me. Serve me. Serve one another. Serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to be free, brothers, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." Serve one another. I serve my wife because I love her. And what does it take to get a glass of water and give it to your wife? Not much. Now, if she were to say, Mark, cook supper for me. She would never say that. Never. And you wouldn't want to eat it. It would be an act of love for you to eat it. Okay? You see, when we serve one another, we actually demonstrate love, don't we? It's human nature to want to be the master, isn't it? I'm in charge. It's not human nature to be the servant. And yet that is what God wants us to be. In Galatians 3:10, we find this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, look for opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. That's the church. We work for the good of all. Okay, number 8. I'm trying to keep it short. Bear with one another or accepting one another. Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. It's Christmas time. We got together with Uncle Mort. We got together with Aunt Brandhilda. And it wasn't easy. But we're family. We're family. Sometimes, you ever notice some people need that little extra grace? You know what I mean? You just got to give them that little extra grace. They need maybe a little extra forgiveness. And what I do in times like that, I say, Christ died for them. He's forgiven them. He's forgiven you, hasn't he? Look what you've done. I need to forgive and have that little extra grace. Don't harbor malice or hate. Treat them as God would. You know, you can either forgive or you can hate. And if we live in an environment of hate, we don't win. Not at all. Don't live in hate. 9, submit to one another. Ephesians 5:19-21. Speaking to one another in psalms. See, that's why when some of you come up to me and I start singing a song, because I hear a phrase and I'll start saying, because it says right there, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music from your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Now that has a serious connotation to it. Really does. There are many roles of submission to a Christian. We're told to submit to God. We're told to submit to the government, to the elders, wives to husbands, children to parents, and to one another. That means that we have to be, and listen to this, we have to have a spirit-controlled relationship when we do that. We should be willing to learn from each other, to serve, to give to, or even to be corrected by others. And sometimes we don't like that last part. No. We are to submit to one another. How? In the fear of Christ. Now, people, that doesn't mean just respect. Fear means fear. In the fear of Christ. Christ holds your destiny in His hands. Do you want to be arrogant around Him, the Creator of the entire universe, and the person who has all authority in heaven and earth? No, I have a certain fear. For God is God, and I am man. And then there's another one called spur one another on. Okay? Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. That's taken from Hebrews 10:24. Number 10, spur one another on. You know, we're in this life together, aren't we? Don't try to go it alone. Spur one another. What's a spur?
Get going.
Right? How many of you have ever ridden a horse? Yeah. They have a little thing called spur or a heel. And every once in a while it just nudges that person on a little bit to get them going. Spur one another so that, why? You produce love and good works. That's what we spur one another to do. And then the 11th one is be hospitable to one another. 1 Peter 4:8-9. Above all, maintain an intense love for one another. Did you get that? Wow. Since love covers a multitude of sins, be hospitable to one another without complaining. That means open your house, be hospitable. This passage is quoted from Proverbs 10:12, where love covers all sins. You know what? I once had an old car. Well, I've had a lot of old cars, now that I think about it. And the road was so rough, I was just going down the road like this constantly. And I realized it needed shock absorbers, you know? And when I got them, whoo, I sure got around a lot better. Well, love is the shock absorber that helps us through this journey of life. And when I demonstrate love, I can get around life a whole lot better. When you open your house to someone, when you share a meal, it truly becomes a special time. It's not about a person. And this is one thing about hospitality. It doesn't mean that you have the house ready. See, if you have the house sparkling clean, ready to go, it's about you. But if it's a little messy and you open your house, it's about loving them, even though it's a little messy. So, we should always have a messy house, honey. I try to tell her that. Number 12 is to greet one another. I love to greet one another. The Bible in Romans 16:16 said, greet one another with a holy kiss. And all the churches of Christ send you greetings. Today it might be a handshake, you know? Might be a handshake. But you know what it's all about? It's all about God's people being friendly. That's what it's about. Being friendly. You know, the French may greet a kiss to the cheek. The Eskimos may rub noses. The Israelis may say shalom. But with Christians, we greet with friendship and with love. Now that's the church that God wants. That's the way the church should be. You know what? And if the church was really all of that, I think that there would be such a strong magnet for those to say, look how they love one another. Look how they help one another. This coming year, I want our church to one another. All of these things. So that we may be the church that God wants us to be. Well, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask that the people come up. And we're going to offer once again, if you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept His salvation, this invitation is for you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We hope you will join us for worship at Beechwood Christian Church, located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. Please join us, and once again, thank you for listening. May God bless you and your family.